The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network. It's time to turn on the Shark Spotlight.
We're in the spotlight with one of the exciting players on the San Jose Sharks, Jeff Skinner. Jeff, tell us about your journey. We're really excited to have you here because you've always been a thorn in the Sharks' side, so you can't score any big goals against San Jose anymore. That's something that's been part of your career. But you've had a really interesting background, and I want to take you all the way back to Markham, Ontario, where you grew up. One of five kids, four sisters. So I want to ask a question about you and your dad. Did you guys have an extra hot water tank just so you guys could get a hot shower once in a while?
Yeah, bathroom time's tough to come by in that household. But, pretty grateful to have that many siblings and that many role models. I'm the second youngest, so the older ones kind of show me the way, show me the ropes, and keep me in line. And, it was a lot of fun growing up.
But you got a fascinating background in the sense that your parents, if I'm not mistaken, are lawyers. So they're very educated. They're very much involved in a lot of what the hockey business could be like. Your sister played college hockey at Cornell and ended up with Hockey Canada for a bit. Did you ever consider taking on a college-type career?
Yeah, I think, growing up in Ontario, I think that's kind of, I know it's changed now with kind of being able to go from the CHL to NCAA, but back when I was playing, you kind of had to choose the route. And for me, yeah, for sure, I definitely considered going to play in NCAA, but I was fortunate enough to be drafted by a great organization in Kitchener and got to play there at a pretty young age and got some pretty good opportunity to develop and had good coaches there. And pretty lucky to have ended up where I did, but definitely a different route was definitely considered at a time.
But different route is sort of the story of your life because with your background, you actually started figure skating and, in fact, had a bronze medal at a pretty high level when you were about 11, 12 years old. Then you had to decide whether you wanted to do both, play one sport, and choose hockey. First of all, what did figure skating do to help your hockey career?
I don't know. Honestly, I feel like there's nothing really specific that I can point to because I don't think I was sort of doing figure skating so that I could translate the skills into hockey. I think being on the ice that much as a kid probably helped be more comfortable on my skates. Obviously, they're different skates, and if I went on those skates now, I'd probably fall over quite a bit. But, I think just being on the ice, obviously it being a totally different sport, there's also crossover between all sports and sort of the mental aspects and trying to work hard. And obviously you have to listen to your coaches in that sport or you're kind of going to mess up. So all those little things, I think, help translate kind of by accident or just kind of by chance. And, I was lucky to be able to do both.
Did you enjoy figure skating?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, like... You could probably tell I'm not the most graceful, most sort of fluid guy out there. I wasn't sort of known for that. I would say sort of the jumping and the spinning was a little bit more my forte and kind of what I enjoyed a little bit more. I think that part of it for sure was a lot of fun.
One thing you have to respect is the athleticism of all those skaters, especially those that get to the highest level of figure skating. But I wanted to ask also about the individual discipline, because it takes a lot of individual fortitude to actually compete in that sport. And I wonder if that's something that translated over for you.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I didn't really even get close to kind of the highest level of that sport, but I know sort of growing up through it and being around good skaters and having really good coaches that compete at a high level, the discipline, like you said, and the toughness, I think that's one of the things that's kind of underrated in that sport is those those athletes are pretty tough. They train really hard. The sport is pretty tough on the body, so you have to kind of keep up with things to make sure they don't break down. I think that sport has a lot to teach in those aspects.
Well, you have certainly a family of athletes. I wondered, your parents, as I mentioned, are both lawyers, but did they play the sport of hockey? Were they athletes in any way?
Not hockey. I think my mom maybe played sort of like club level in university. No, they played other sports. I'd have to look at the home videos to find the game tape. But I guess my dad was pretty good at tennis and soccer. I honestly don't know the full story of how we all became hockey players or all got into hockey. I think sort of when you have a big family, it's sort of the oldest sisters played hockey and then everyone just was at the rink, so they just threw us all in there after them. So maybe that was sort of how it all happened. But neither of them really played, but long enough around the rinks that they can give me a few tips here and there. They were my coaches back in the day, so they've seen their fair share now.
Well, it's also the culture, too. We're visiting with Jeff Skinner on the Shark Spotlight, and the culture around Markham, Ontario is hockey, hockey, hockey. But what's also interesting is there's a lot of Silicon Valley-like activity over there. You've got companies like AMD and IBM and companies that people in the Bay Area are really, really familiar with. And you've also got a very strong Asian component to the population. People speak Cantonese and Mandarin and Russian and so forth. It's not that different from the Bay Area in that sense, is it?
No, I think I was pretty fortunate to grow up in a place where there's so much diversity and also sort of diverse thoughts and companies and being around sort of I don't know if you can call it a tech city when you're in sort of this city, kind of maybe like a little brother, little sister. I think it's kind of one of those things where this is kind of the hub, and I think everyone's trying to like keep an eye and keep up to this city, but or this area. I think growing up in Markham, there's definitely a little bit of that sort of mixed in.
And of course, the culture, very heavily hockey. That might explain how it's so easily integrated into your family. I suppose you were probably a Maple Leafs fan growing up, but who are your favorite teams and players?
I was a Leafs fan. I think you kind of. Most people there, you just kind of become a Leafs fan on by sort of no choice of your own. But so I guess my favorite players kind of growing up were Matt Sundin. Matt Sundin was my favorite player. I think there's a lot of like other Leafs guys, but I don't know if they're as relevant anymore because they were. I feel like now I'm getting a little bit older, so. Maybe they weren't as recognizable for other people, but Sundin's a big one.
Well, time marches on definitely for all of us. One thing, you also had some great teammates growing up. If I'm not mistaken, with one of the teams in Toronto, either Midget or before that, you played with Gabriel Landeskog. Steven Stamkos is from Markham. You've got a lot of people that played in the NHL from that area.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know what it is. I think maybe just luck or good coaching, good programs, but there's definitely a lot of guys that have come out of there, and I think for me, obviously, if you're growing up playing hockey, being around good players definitely helps push you, helps elevate your skills, and helps you kind of work hard to keep up, and it's definitely a positive thing, I think, for me growing up.
You're listening to the Shark Spotlight on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're visiting with Jeff Skinner in the Sharks Spotlight. He is a very excitable and exciting hockey player that's going to be a big part of the San Jose Sharks' present and future. So you choose hockey, you give up figure skating, you really focus on this game. You played in the Quebec Pee Wee Tournament. Have you gotten that music out of your head yet?
I think so, yeah. It's been a while, but it was in there for a bit.
So was that really where you got your first exposure to people telling you that you really had a future in this game?
I don't know. I mean, maybe. I think growing up, obviously, that's the big tournament everyone talks about and everyone gets excited about. But I think you're so young that you're just going to play a hockey tournament with your buddies. And for me, I'd say the biggest turning point or sort of time that I realized that maybe I could have a chance at being a pro or making a career out of it was probably when I got to major junior, I think, because then you're playing with guys that have been drafted, guys that are signed to contracts, professional contracts, and yeah, I think that's probably the moment, I think, so maybe 16, 17 years old.
You played for the Kitchener Rangers, and your head coach was Steve Spott, somebody that everybody in San Jose knows and everybody in the hockey world knows. Tell us about his influence on you in those 2 years that you played for the Rangers.
Yeah, he was great for me. I think when you're 16, you move away from home, you've got a lot of sort of growing up to do, sort of at the rink and outside the rink, I think, and Spotter and the whole organization, I think, do a great job of supporting guys come up there sort of through their development on and off the ice. And I had a great time there. I learned a lot, and really, really lucky to have been drafted there and then to have played there. And it's a great organization.
Well, first round draft choice of the Carolina Hurricanes. You had, I think, 20 goals in the playoff season that you had for a long run with the Kitchener Rangers. That organization, just a great history. We talk a lot about the hockey, but I also wanted to ask about the Billets there, because you have to live with the Billet family. Have you stayed in touch with that family? Did you have a good experience with them?
I think over the years, kind of lost a little bit of touch, but I think you have to, sort of going through it, have to have a great relationship. And the team does a great job of matching guys up with really good Billets that, again, they support you. It's one of those things where I think you kind of are there to play hockey, but you also have 22 hours outside the rink every day. So having that support system, I think going through that experience of moving away from home for the first time was really crucial.
I suppose that you can relate to teenagers on the San Jose Sharks doing the same thing, with Will Smith living with Patty Marleau and with Macklin Celebrini living with Joe Thornton, and Michael Misa looks like he might live with Tyler Toffoli.
Yeah, it's a nice little setup for those guys. I think looking back on my first year in the league, I roomed with Justin Peters. He's a goalie coach in Ottawa's organization now. But I think having sort of someone to, I don't know if mentor is the right word, but I think it maybe gets thrown around. It's really invaluable to have that experience to go to them with anything, I think. And even if you don't have a question, just knowing that the support's there and, someone that's sort of been in your shoes is there and willing to help, I think is great. So I think those guys are, and also obviously those are some legends, so they definitely did it right, so they definitely know how to show them the way.
Well, you showed yourself the way, because you're one of the few players that has played 15 years and never played in the American Hockey League. You went right to the NHL at such a young age. I remember your rookie season, because Logan Couture was a candidate for the Calder Trophy. You ended up getting the Calder Trophy as the best player in the NHL that year. And I suppose that if you think about it, you could probably look at Macklin Celebrini, at Will Smith, and players like that, and understand exactly what it is they're going through. But how did you handle it during that time to be able to just step in and have a major, major effect on your team?
I think those guys definitely have more talent than I did at that age. And I think for me, it was more about sort of the opportunity I got. And obviously, you have to work hard and be prepared for the opportunity. But I think for me, sort of stepping into the lineup and getting to play with good players right away really helped me kind of adjust and sort of settle in for the season. And personally had a pretty decent season. And I think for those guys coming in, I obviously haven't been here watching them from afar. They're immensely talented. And then seeing them in the last few days, they have a great work ethic. So when you combine those two things, I think it's a good recipe. I think most people would agree. And I think it's exciting to see those guys and sort of how they're going to continue to make big steps forward. And to be able to watch that and be up close and see it every day will be a nice treat for me, I think, this year.
So right into the fire as an NHL player for you, and you get to see, relive some of that this year with the young guys. Rod Brind'Amour was not the head coach of the Hurricanes when you were there, but he was around as an assistant coach. He's got such a reputation for being so focused and detailed on little things, whether it's training, whether it's nutrition, whether it's getting the right sleep, whether it's travel. Did he have a big impact on you?
Yeah, I think, whenever you have someone with that pedigree, I think it's definitely going to be a positive, and the more you can kind of take from them, the better off anyone will be. But yeah, I think when you look at this level, the highest level, it's sometimes the difference is very small, and if you can control those little things and sort of maximize your potential, I think it's only going to help you sort of gain an edge in a situation where the difference is just a second here or a second there. And yeah, I think for sure watching guys like that, being around guys like that, I mean, Eric Staal was the captain. He was a great player. Been around a long time when I got there. Cam Ward, the goalie. Same thing with those guys. I think they play at such a high level, and they've been doing it for so long, and there's a reason for it. I think the more you can be around and sort of soak in kind of the reasons for their success, I think is definitely something as a player you're grateful for.
Well, you've scored 20 goals a whole bunch of times in your NHL career. You got to the 40-goal mark certainly at least one time. You've played in a couple of interesting cities too. You played in Carolina, in Raleigh, again, a kind of a research triangle park kind of an area. Then you went to Buffalo. And I want to ask about Buffalo because Buffalo gets beat on over the years for another reason that we'll get to in your own career, not getting to the playoffs in recent years. But what is it about Buffalo Sabres fans that makes them special? Because it doesn't seem to matter where the team stands in the standings. They're out there cheering really loudly for their team.
Yeah, they're passionate sports city. I think you look at, I think the Bills probably obviously are the most, the Bills fans are the most recognizable for that sort of attitude. And I think it just carries over into the Sabres as well. I think they really love sports, their sports teams in that city, and that passion kind of, you can feel it throughout the community, throughout the city, throughout the organization. And yeah, really fortunate I got to experience that and play in front of that fan base.
But with all of these NHL games, with all of these seasons, you never really got the opportunity to play in the Stanley Cup playoffs until you joined the Edmonton Oilers on a free agent contract and got to experience 5 Stanley Cup playoff games. I want to start with the first part because the Sharks have not qualified for the playoffs for a few seasons as you join them. How do you deal with that disappointment as a veteran player? How do you not let it seep into your game? How do you keep smiling?
I mean, I think you got to keep working at it. I think every team wants to make the playoffs, and every team start of the season has the same expectation, and you all started at zero. So I think there's always going to be that excitement leading into the season, and you know, different teams make different moves in the off season, tweaks to their roster, and everyone comes in and you try to make it to your goal, which is make the playoffs. And I think for us, I think that's sort of the excitement, the attitude I see around here, and I'm just excited to sort of be a part of that.
Also, part of a renaissance for a team because, you know, for all these years that you played in the NHL, the Sharks primarily were among the best teams in the league. Somehow you seem to always score against them. I don't know what it is about you, but you always seem to get big goals against the Sharks. Did you like seeing Teal or something?
I don't know. Maybe it's the rink. Hopefully it's the rink, so hopefully I can keep it going. But, yeah, for sure. They've for sure been one of the top teams for almost my whole career. So, yeah, I'm excited to join them. Maybe it's the rink. Hopefully. We'll see.
You're listening to the Shark Spotlight on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're visiting with Jeff Skinner of the San Jose Sharks. How are you different as a hockey player from that playoff experience? What did it feel like to soak it all in?
I don't know. It's hard to point to one sort of thing that maybe is different. I think for me, just kind of experiencing it and learning from it, I think is the main thing, I think, going forward that I'll take from it. I think it's one of those things where I think it's hard in the moment to kind of pick pick out like what you're going to take from it. But I think the overall experience, the stakes and the intensity and the excitement around the whole thing is definitely something that I feel like you can only experience if you're there. And I think once you're there and have that taste and that feel for it, I think you definitely want to get back to that feeling. So I think the main thing now that I'm thinking out loud is just the excitement to try and get back to that feeling. So obviously it's a long way off, there's a lot of season to play, and it's a long road ahead, but you start with game one and try and make it there.
When you get to about game 65 and you go to practice and your body's sore and you're kind of tired and dealing with all the things that you have to deal with in the season, does your love of the game really get you through it?
I guess so. It's not the sore body that's getting you through it. So I think, you definitely have to have that passion and love for the game. In the good times and the bad, but definitely in the bad times, it definitely helps power you through.
What's the toughest injury you've ever had?
I don't know. Hurt my shoulder 1 year. It's pretty painful, but I don't know. I think that's probably the most painful one I've had. So
it looks to me like you've been pretty lucky over the course of your career. That's what I wonder, and I wonder how much you've learned about training for preventive measures to help you stay very, very focused and trained through the year.
I think especially nowadays you see young guys come in, they're so prepared physically and mentally, but I think the training side and off ice side has really evolved over the last number of years, definitely since I've come in the league. I think there is an element of luck. You obviously, if you take a puck off the wrong part of your ankle, like there's nothing you can do about it. But I think you try and control as many things as you can control, and taking care of like you mentioned before, your sleep and your nutrition and what you do in the gym. I think those all sort of add up, and those little things help you, I think, in the long run.
What about travel? I mean, you played in Carolina, you played in Buffalo. Most of the games are in the Eastern time zone. Then you go to Edmonton and you kind of get a taste of what it's like out here in San Jose. How did that change the way you approach things because of the fact that some days you don't have practice because you got to fly across the country or you're flying back? You play in four different time zones instead of primarily one. How did you adjust to that with the Oilers, and how do you anticipate it here?
I think you try and do your best. Obviously, you get in at 2 or 3 in the morning and you try to have a good sleep. It's going to be a tough one either way. But I think for me, obviously everyone says like the Western Conference travel is a lot different. I think the time zones is probably the biggest thing. In the East, you're rarely sort of changing time zones. But I do think obviously the teams are aware and they adjust their schedules and plan accordingly. I think that sets us up as players to perform and to sort of take care of our sleep and body the right way. But I think you just get used to it, I think. And I think any sort of tricks or routines you can get into to try to calm down during times when you want to be calm, I think that's probably the big things you pick up over the years. But I think the teams do a good job of sort of planning for that.
You get an idea of what it's going to be like to skate through the Shark Head?
I haven't yet, but I've seen it enough times to maybe imagine it in my head. But pretty excited, I think, to finally do that and get it going. I think once you get around the team, once you get in the building and you start to feel the excitement of the season coming, I think you can't help but sort of look forward to those kinds of things.
What would it mean to you to be part of a renaissance for this team, to get them back to the playoffs, to get them challenging for the Stanley Cup, and that whole process that a young group of guys has to go through to get there?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're all here for. But for me personally, obviously, to be here and to be a part of that is the goal, and it's what sort of drives you and what sort of causes all the excitement and the passion and stuff like that. So I think, really excited to get that going.
Well, we're really excited for you to get going, and we're really excited to translate some of those goals you scored against the Sharks into goals for at really big moments, because you seem to do that throughout your whole career. We're excited to have you, and we really appreciate the time today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Let's conclude this edition of Shark Spotlight with an example of what Jeff Skinner can do. This is a game against the Sharks in which he was in the right place at the right time. What an effort by Thornton. Is now, Jones is in trouble. It's in front. Skinner, score! When you've got a sniper like Jeff Skinner, that's going to be trouble. Final score, 3-2. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dan Rusinowski.
The Shark Spotlight is a presentation of the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.